So let your colors run tonight. We're painting in the dark. Let your colors run tonight. The colors of your heart.
Hey, and welcome to the Catchy Lefty podcast. We are here talking about week two of Advent, and we are looking at the passage Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. My name is Patrick, and I'm hearkening from Durango, Colorado, and joining me today are my good friends Jen Chapman and Jonathan Spring. How are you guys?
Doing well. Good to be here.
Doing great, man. Thanks.
Sweet. Well, I'm excited about today. And just once again digging into the Advent season of the lectionary. And so we are going to be talking about just how to preach this. It seems like the theme that we are, that all of our churches are going with is expecting change or expecting transformation for this week. So we're just going to get right into that. So Malachi was written probably after the Second Temple period. So this was like historically like after 515 BC. So it's like right around the time of like Ezra and Nehemiah, to put it in situation, probably a little bit after Ezra and Nehemiah, actually, because in this specific text, Malachi is addressing the questionable practices of the Levites. And so in this sense, Malachi is referencing, it's the word from my messenger. So it could even, it could be a designation of the prophet himself, or of somebody who is to come. So that's kind of an interesting little thing that's going on in the background. The Judeans, who are the audience that Malachi is speaking to, they're going to be the ones under the Persian Empire. So there's going to be a whole bunch of people that are coming back to this land, and they will have never seen it before. So there's going to be a couple generations who have lived in Babylon and have lived in that empire.
Wow.
And so again, it's almost like this refugee crisis that's going on, is that there's a group of people that are returning to their land that has been devastated, and they're seeing it for the first time, and they're living together with those who had moved there from different parts of the empires. They've intermarried with different people, which, you know, according to Deuteronomistic law, that's not good. And so there's rivals, like there's just leaders clamoring for power. There's just a whole lot of like different groups of people at this time. And Malachi doesn't exactly take sides, but he offers a direction. And the direction that he offers actually is, it's one of those, it's to go back to the way that they were under the leading of Moses. It could, you could read it and you could take it and say that, you know, Malachi is calling for us to go back to the yesteryears. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. Go back to the way things. You could hear it like that. Like, I think that'd be the simplistic reading of this passage. Or you could read it in light of the reality that you can never go back from where you were. Like, they can never fully return to the way that things once were when they entered into the promised land 1,000 years before that time. But they can begin to practice once again the way of living and life that they had forgotten. And so when Malachi is calling for purification or transformation, again, it's almost like, it's not necessarily like the blessings and cursings of Deuteronomy as much as it is, these are the ways that teach life and teach life abundantly. And so let's figure out how to relearn these habits of living that are characteristically different than the way that we're doing things now. And that falls in line even with Jesus and what Jesus is saying. Like, he was one who was definitely regularly interacting with the teachings of Moses and with Deuteronomy. And what he was was arguing for was not for them to become even more stricter Jews in their practices and in their habits, but to become people who learn how to live and habit their lives in such a way where they bring about, where there's life, where there's l'chaim, where there's that abundancy that's going on. And I just think that that's key, because as I look around at our world, as I look around at my people, but then even at myself, like, we have so many patterns of destruction, whether it be personal in our lives and like in the things that we do again and again and again, or like addictions or issues along those lines, or whether it be systemic, where we're constantly at war with one another and we're constantly fighting for Earth's resources and trying to like make power plays over that and participating in arm races again and again and again. I think it's important for us to hear these words about, first of all, judgment from God and what that looks like, but then also to hear that God's judgment is going to fall upon all people, not just our enemies, but it's also going to fall upon us. And I think you see that really clearly in this passage from Malachi, that God's judgment falls upon even God's people. And that judgment is not a damnation as much as it is a purification, that it's taking out those habits and those traits that we've used that have dehumanized ourselves and dehumanized one another, and leaving the habits and the traits that support life and truly reflect the image that is instilled upon all of us, which is the Imago Dei, the image of God.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too that, like, we talk about it a lot during Lent, but Advent is somewhat a little Lent, in that there's this call to see where, who it is that God wants us to be as a people, and then how we're not measuring up to that in small ways, but sometimes in large ways. And I think that this passage in particular gives us a chance to really look at how, yes, God's judgment is it can be scary, it can be eerie to talk about, but at the same time, it's this thing that has to happen, because we have to change. We're never done.
Yeah,
we have to change. We have to move in the way. We've never arrived to being that perfect human being or that perfect image of God until we're full in Him, when He renews everything. So along the way, we come to these little moments where God wants to call us forward, as communities, as individuals. He wants to call us forward and create us, make us into a people that's different than we have been. Not because and sometimes it's not even because it's bad, but He's trying to make us better. He's trying to refine us. He's trying to make us more pure. He's trying to continue to shape us and mold us into being the people of God. That he sees fit, you know. And I think that's, I think you saying that about the it's not just for the bad people, it's also for the good guys, you know. Like, there's a sense where we can be scared of it, but it's actually this beautiful thing that God is doing in us, and it doesn't have to be scary.
Yeah, and like, what is, like, I think this passage again, it's asking us, like, what does faithful covenant look like? Like, I think Malachi was pushing the people to really think about, well, what does covenantal faithfulness look like for them as they're entering back into this devastated land that had just been wrought with war for a few centuries? And, you know, they've never really been defined as a people from a place. They've always been defined as a people in exile, and now they're returning and they're still in exile, but they're given a little bit back. They're given back a little bit of their identity. And so, what does it look like for them to practice a life that when judgment day shows up, that the purification process is not going to be something to be afraid of, but something that they can welcome? Like, what is that going to look like? I think that's just hits home to us today, because we're trying to figure out, what does it mean to be a faithful people of covenant, right? Like, I mean, there's culture wars, there's stupid things to distract us, like the war on Christmas and like the Starbucks cups, which, you know, this week have just blown up. But like, is that really what covenant covenantal faithfulness looks like, or is it like what goes on? And I wish that like maybe we should in our churches read Malachi 3:1-5 instead of Malachi 3:1-4, because the fifth verse talks about what faithful covenant looks like, and it's these social practices of caring for the orphaned and the widow and living your life in such a way where you value the other person. Because again, like what they were dealing with was like some of these habits and practices that they had been instilled into their lives were dehumanizing and therefore not reflecting God into the world. And so for us today, like, you know, what does it mean for us to once again affirm our humanity, to affirm that we were created in the image of God? Kelly Yates, she's an adjunct professor at SNU, and she said something like, if the cups bother you that much, why don't you bring your own mug? That way you'll make a positive impact in the environment, and you won't have to deal with the red cup, with the issues of the red cups. And it's like, yeah, like that's actually a pretty positive choice, because once again, you're choosing to be positive in your social awareness and in your social actions rather than negative and detract from that.
I agree that we should go further, definitely, in the amount of the scripture that we're kind of preaching from. And I would say we could even go through verse 7, because there's just so much there. A couple of things. One is that this issue of we're being refined so that we can present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. And so that makes me think about, you know, you're talking about all the red cup stuff, and what kind of offerings are we presenting to the Lord right now? Like, what is it that we are saying, this is what it means for me to be a Christian? What am I standing for? What am I doing? Am I being active and positive, or am I complaining, or what is it? What are our offerings to the Lord? Because a lot of times I think that we too make offerings to the Lord that are not actually righteous. And so perhaps part of that refining work is helping us become people who are making offerings to the Lord in righteousness that go along with the kinds of things that God wants us to be doing for Him in the world and giving to Him. And then another thought, we're talking about the fact that we are expecting change. Verse 6 is somewhat helpful there, because it reminds us, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. And so this reminder that we're expecting change, we're not expecting God to change. We're expecting God to change us. And because God's nature and character doesn't change, he has not just destroyed the children of Jacob, but again, kind of back to what we talked about the week before, seeks to restore, to bring back life. And so part of that work we're now realizing is the issue of purifying us, refining us into God's people.
Well, that'll do it for us today. Thanks once again, just Jonathan and Jen, for sharing all those great thoughts. We just want to invite you, if you are following along with us, just to check us out at catchylecti.com or on Facebook /catchylecti. Once again, my name is Patrick Engel, and you can find me at faithcommunitynaz.church, where I blog there regularly, and my sermons are online there. Or you can follow me at Patrick Glenn on Twitter. Jen, where can people, if they are interested in more from you, where can they find you?
Well, my church is called Nexus Community Church of the Nazarene, and you can find us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NexusDallas, NEXUS.
Thanks. And Jonathan?
Yeah, you can find me. My church is Catalyst Church. We're in Rowlett, Texas, and just outside of Dallas. And you can find us at catrow.org. That's where we have all of our sermons uploaded to. You can connect with me on Facebook and Twitter at I Am Spring.
Wonderful. Well, everyone, we hope that your Advent preaching is going well for you. We hope that you and your church are both experiencing the unexpected life that is found in Jesus. Grace and peace.